A few of yesterday's presidential clemencies were high profile, like the military document leaker Chelsea Manning. Most were incarcerated drug offenders. In fact, President Obama has now commuted or shortened the sentences of over 1,000 inmates, while only pardoning or forgiving the crimes of a couple hundred people. Unlike Bill Clinton, who made several last-minute controversial pardons, including fugitive Mark Rich, the ex-husband of a Clinton friend. Margaret Love is a clemency lawyer. Some of her clients have received clemency from the president. Some are waiting to hear. Margaret, what do you make of Obama's record so far?
I think the one thing that could be said about it is that he has established a generous and regular practice of pardoning, but quite late in his term. He didn't really start thinking about his pardoning policy until the last 3 years of his two terms.
Is that unusual?
It actually is quite unusual, and it's unfortunate, I think, that he didn't start earlier. Most presidents have started in pretty much right away. The myth that pardoning usually takes place at the end of a president's term is just that. Bill Clinton was most unusual in lumping most of his pardons at the very end of his term. But that is not the way historically it has been. It's been more a regular practice over a president's term. If anything, there's been more of a bell curve effect, more pardoning in the middle of a term. I think possibly the main problem in recent years has been that the process for administering the pardon power has been controlled by the Department of Justice. And at least for the last three presidents, the Justice Department has not been particularly encouraging of the president to use his power.
What do you say to people, though, who say they don't want to see any of this? If people have a sentence, they should serve it. If people have done the crime, they should suffer the consequences, which may be not being able to get a job.
Well, in the first instance, there is a general belief now that the sentences that were meted out in the 1980s and 90s for drug crimes were far too severe. Those laws and policies have now been changed. Cases in which you can say, the prosecutors indeed have said, I would not seek such a severe sentence if I had this person before me today. And that's the main type of sentence.
This is, you know, for instance, largely African Americans who got far longer sentences for dealing crack cocaine than whites did for dealing powder cocaine. And this was seen as an injustice.
That's right, and the laws changed.
Yeah.
Now, the pardon cases, I don't think anyone would agree that someone who commits, for example, a very minor offense should be barred from employment for the rest of their life. Many people who have been pardoned never even went to prison. Their crimes were very minor, and the collateral consequences of a conviction can be extremely severe. So I doubt if anybody would agree that commission of a very minor crime should basically marginalize that person and make them a second-class citizen for life.
So you still have fingers crossed until Friday at noon.
I do indeed.
Yeah. That's Margaret Love, a clemency lawyer. Many of her clients have appealed for commutations and pardons, and she is waiting to see. Margaret, thank you.
Thank you.